All right, everybody, good morning. Coming to you with an OPBC online news update here. Hank Hanegraaff, the Bible answer man, goes apostate. Isn't that something? I never really did like that guy anyway. I didn't really believe that he was solid at all in the first place. But when you reach thousands of people like he does on a large scale, you know, someone needs to warn others about his heresy, about his apostasy is really what this is. The Bible answer man decides that he has been doing it for a long time, I guess, but now he finally came out of the apostate closet, so to speak, and he was chrismated, it says. I don't know what that is. Sounds like something bad that happens to you in a rap song or something, but he was chrismated. I'm going to read you what that is exactly. Chrismation consists of the sacrament or mystery in the Eastern Orthodox, Oriental Orthodox, and Eastern Catholic churches, as well as in the Assyrian Church of the East initiation rites. Now, all this screams is Roman Catholicism repackaged to me, and not even repackaged that well, to be honest with you, but that's what it screams. The sacrament is more commonly known in the West as confirmation, although Italians normally use chrisma or chrismation rather than confirmation. The term chrismation comes about because it involves anointing the recipient of the sacrament with chrism. Chrism? Where do you find that in the Bible? Where do you find chrism in the Bible? You don't. Which, according to Eastern Christian belief, the apostles sanctified and introduced for all priests to use as a replacement for laying on of hands by the apostles. Not so. The book of Hebrews tells us that the laying on of hands for ordination and for other things and for work in the church is still done today. It's part of the first principles. If you read Hebrews chapter 6 and the end of Hebrews chapter 5, you read that those are the first principles. So no, that's not true. It's still valid today to lay hands. It's not an apostolic succession, though. But these people are stuck in this. Let's see. Chrism consists of a mixture of 40 sweet-smelling substances and pure olive oil, sanctified by a bishop with some older chrism added. Wow. In the belief that some trace of the initial chrism sanctified by the apostles remains therein. What is this? A bunch of hocus-pocus nonsense. A bunch of Roman Catholicism repackaged. Eastern Orthodox Church does it. The priests anoint the recipient with chrism, making the sign of the cross on the forehead, eyes, ears, nostrils, breast, back, hands, and feet, using the following words each time: the seal of the gift of the Holy Spirit. You don't seal people with oil, the gift of the Holy Spirit. What does the Bible say about the Spirit of God? Read up on that. It's not what they're doing. The chrism is washed off by a priest 7 days later, according to the written rubric. So this is in their liturgical form. I always call that liturgy. The newly baptized, wearing their white chitons and not washing their anointed parts for that period. However, in the case of infant baptism, and often with adult chrismation, contemporary practice, the ablution is performed immediately after the rite of chrismation. Of course. Now they have that chrismation as part of a baptismal rite. Typically, one becomes a member of the church by baptism and chrismation performed by a priest as a single service, subsequent to baptism performed by a layman. Now check this out, because this is really what he's saying here. All of us are apostates, because this is how they use this chrism, at the reconciliation of apostates. In the Eastern Orthodox Church, the sacrament may be conferred more than once, as it is customary to receive apostates by repeating chrismation according to the Book of Needs. The priest, taking the holy chrism, he anoints him or her according to the order of those who are baptized towards the end of the prayers of purification for one returning to the true faith from apostasy. See, they think they have the true faith, and all this garbage is part of it. This is not the faith once delivered unto the saints. Could you show me Hank Hanegraaff, the Bible answer man? I wish you had a Bible. Get a King James one. It'll help you. But if you could show me in the Bible chrism, if you could show me that, I would be absolutely impressed to see that. Because I don't think you can show that. Here's look at this. The practice of thus attested to the 9th century by Saint Methodius of Constantinople in the Rules of Methodius, Patriarch of Constantinople, concerning the return from apostasy or various persons to the true Orthodox faith. If a child is in apostasy, let him be washed. Upon leaving the bath, girded with a linen cloth, let him be anointed with chrism as one who is baptized, and let him put on the new robe in the manner of those who have been baptized. Okay, where's that in the Bible? Seriously, Hank Hanegraaff, Bible answer man, where's that in the Bible? At the reception of certain converts, listen to this. Although normally administered in conjunction with baptism, in some cases chrismation alone may be used to receive converts to Orthodoxy through the exercise of oikonomia. Although practice in this regard varies, in general, if a convert comes to Orthodoxy from another Christian confession and has previously undergone the rite of baptism in the Trinitary formula, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, he or she may be received into the Orthodox Church through the sacrament of chrismation, after which receiving the Holy Eucharist. So you just became a Catholic. After which receiving the Holy Eucharist, if however a convert comes from a Christian confession that baptizes in the name of Jesus, such as Oneness Pentecostals, from one which practices an invalid non-Trinitarian baptism, such as Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses, or from one that does not practice baptism at all, such as Quakers or the Salvation Army, baptism is a prerequisite for chrismation. An initiate must always be validly baptized in the death of Jesus in the name of the Holy Trinity before any further holy mysteries or sacraments of initiations can be administered. Holy mysteries? I thought those things were revealed unto us in the gospel, those mysteries. Paul revealed the mystery. There are other mysteries, but they have been revealed to us. This is nothing but Roman Catholicism is all this is. The sacrament of chrismation is an extension of the day of Pentecost in which the Holy Spirit was poured out on the apostles. It is by chrismation that a person becomes a lay person, a member of the laos or laity, the people of God. Timothy Ware explains it this way. Through chrismation, every member of the church becomes a prophet and receives a share in the royal priesthood of Christ. All Christians alike, because they are chrismated, are called to act as conscious witnesses of the truth. You have anointing from the Holy One to know all things. What a twist of scripture. John didn't say he had a bottle of magic chrism. What are you, Snoop Dogg? He didn't say that. The Apostle John didn't say that either. He didn't say, oh, I have a bottle of chrism. Let me just pass it down from John. It sounds like St. Peter's toe, right? St. Peter's toe. The Vatican's built on St. Peter's toe or some nonsense like that. This is ridiculous. It's not even biblical at all. It's a bunch of nonsense. And you call this the one true faith? No, you're a Roman Catholic is all you are. Go back to your whore mama. You are an apostate. That's what you are. You said here that that to receive an apostate, right? You get this done to you. Okay? To receive an apostate back, okay? It's part of that in the reconciliation of apostates. So Hank Hanegraaff was saying that he was an apostate and they are making him a true Christian. So what he's saying about all of us is that we're all apostates and we need to go back to the one true church. The Greek Orthodox Church that still worships Mary and the other saints. I met a guy one time. I worked for him and he was like, he said, I couldn't find my teeth. He was a Greek Orthodox. He said, I couldn't find my teeth one day. So I said, St. Anthony, you got to help me find my teeth. He prayed to St. Anthony to help find his teeth. This is the nonsense. Listen, I've been around this stuff. I watched this in Northfield. I watched this in Northfield at a community center when we met down the away from it. There's an Eastern Orthodox people there. They were burning incense and kissing pictures of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. As if you know what Matthew, Mark, and Luke look like, number one. And two, what's a grown man doing bowing and kissing to a stinking picture? That's what you call the one true faith? No. The Bible says to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And it wasn't that nonsense. That's just a bunch of nonsense. That's not even biblical. So the Bible answer man, he calls himself, Hank Hanegraaff, he decides that he's going to join the Eastern Orthodox Church. And I want to read you what he says, because this is the fascinating part of it right here. Well, as fascinating as in crazy. Let's see. A photo has been circulated since Sunday of the 67-year-old Hank Hanegraaff being received into Eastern Orthodox at St. Nectarios Greek Orthodox Church in Charlotte, along with his wife and two of his children. On Monday, listeners to Hank Hanegraaff's radio broadcast called in to inquire if he had indeed converted to Orthodoxy. He advised them that he has been attending St. Nectarios, sorry if I don't say it right, for more than 2 years, but it's just now becoming a member. I am now a member of Orthodox Church, but nothing has changed in my faith. What? What do you mean nothing has changed in your faith? How can you say nothing has changed in your faith? So then he said he was listening to Watchman Nee, or reading Watchman Nee books, and that made him get a closer walk with God, or whatever, that he felt like he wasn't close enough to God. Well, Hank, get a Bible called the King James Bible, read the thing, and learn from it. Pray and seek God's face, and the Bible says that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. This sacerdotal nonsense, this sacramental nonsense, all of this stuff is not going to bring you closer to God. Doing a ceremony and a ritual and having chrism put on you, and all this other stuff is not going to bring you closer to God, okay? You need to be born again by the Spirit of God, number one, get saved by the grace of God, repentance and faith in Christ, and then you need to walk with Christ and obey him and follow him. And guess what? You'll have a closer walk with him. But you're looking for a warm, fuzzy feeling from a stinking ceremony is what you're looking for. It's absolutely asinine and ridiculous. 100%. You have turned into an apostate. You have apostatized from the faith. That's what you've done, and you've joined Roman Catholicism. That's all you've done. He said that in witnessing the simplicity and passion of Chinese Christians, he was led to study Watchman Nee and theosis. Wow. Theosis. We're going to look up theosis. Theosis, or deification, is a transformative process whose aim is likeness to or union with God, as taught by the Eastern Orthodox churches. Theosis, or deification, is a transformative process whose aim is the likeness or union with God, as taught by the Eastern Orthodox Church and Eastern Catholic churches. As a process of transformation, theosis is brought about by effects of catharsis, purification of mind and body. You know what this sounds like? This sounds like Ignatius Loyola, the Jesuit. It sounds like his spiritual exercises. That's what it sounds like. And theoria, illumination with the vision of God. According to Eastern Christian teachings, theosis is very much the purpose of human life. It is considered achievable only through the synergy or cooperation between human activity and God's uncreated energies. This is Eastern mysticism. Are you catching this? According to Metropolitan, the primacy of theosis in Eastern Christian theology is directly related to the fact that Eastern Christian theology, as historically conceived by its principal exponents, is based to a greater extent than Roman Catholic theology on the direct spiritual insights of the saints or mystics of the church, rather than the apparently more rational thought tradition of the West. Eastern Christians consider that no one who does not follow the path of union with God can be a theologian. Eastern mysticism. Same stuff Ignatius Loyola taught. Same stuff the Eastern mystics taught. All garbage. All satanic. All of it. Excuse me. Divination. Divinization, it says. St. Anthony of Alexandria wrote, "He was incarnate that we might be made God." His statement is an apt description of the doctrine that would otherwise seem absurd, that fallen sinful man may become holy as God is holy, has been made possible through Jesus Christ, who is God incarnate. Naturally, the crucial Christian assertion that God is one sets an absolute limit on the meaning of theosis, as it is not possible for any created being to become God ontologically, or even a necessary part of God. of the three existences of God called hypostasis. So a created being cannot become Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, nor the Father of the Trinity. Okay. Saint Maximus the Confessor says this, a sure warrant for looking forward with hope to deification of human nature is provided by the incarnation of God, which makes man God to the same degree as God himself became man. This is Eastern mysticism and nonsense, is what it is. They're not talking about living the spirit-filled life. They're talking about relics. They're talking about theoria, okay? Illumination with or direct experience of the triune God. Human beings come to know and experience what it means to be fully human, to create the image of God through their communion with Jesus Christ. God shares himself with the human race in order to conform them to all that he is in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. As God became human in all ways except sin, he also makes humans God. Do you see what they're doing? In all ways except his divine essence, which is uncaused and uncreated. Wow. I mean, I could go on and on and on. There's so much. The ecstatic practice of it, the journey towards theosis, includes many forms of praxis. The most obvious, most monasticism and clergy on the monastic tradition, the practice is most important as a way to establish a direct relationship with God. So it's the Eucharist, especially the Eucharist is taken for granted, also important is cultivating the prayer of the heart. What are they saying? What they're saying is basically the doer in deification is the Holy Spirit with whom the human being joins his will to receive this transforming grace by praxis and prayer. The Christian mystics are deified as they become filled with the light of Tabor of the Holy Spirit in the degree that they themselves open it to it by asceticism. Divinization being not a one-sided act of God, but loving cooperation between God and the advanced Christian. With Paulinus considered a synergy. The synergia, or cooperation between God and man, does not lead to mankind being absorbed into God, and was taught in earlier pagan forms of deification. Okay, so basically, they're trying to justify and whitewash the fact that they're teaching Eastern mysticism. That's what these Eastern Orthodox people teach. This is what Hay Canagraph said drew him to that faith. So what is he saying? In a nutshell, he's saying that Eastern mysticism drew him to the Eastern Orthodox Church, away from any traditional Christianity, which whatever he had. Okay? So the Bible answer man goes apostate.